Now, in revivals, there were certain messages that was preached every revival. I mean, it seemed like every revival they'd preach on the prodigal son, at least one time. They'd preach on Jonah, and they'd preach on the end of the world or the rapture. As far as they knew, it was all the same thing. Amen. And, that's right, rich man and Lazarus. Amen. And but I appreciate the good spirit in the house of God tonight. Amen. And Brother Williamson rejoicing in the Lord. And he's talking about how his grandma did it. Most of us, matter of fact, I don't know how it was in your life, but I know how it was for me. And we knew some shouting grandmas. Amen. My dad's mom was a shouter. She's a little woman. She is a quiet lady, didn't have much to say. But when the Lord showed up, she forgot about all that. Amen. And she'd just get happy. She'd go to clapping her hands and just saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. And she'd just get happy in the Lord. And that blesses me. But here's what I was thinking when he's talking about his grandma did it. Don't you think God's just as good today as he was back then? Yes, he's just as good, just as worthy of praise today as he was back then. And more than likely, he saved me and you out of more than he had to reach down. They wasn't down where we was. They wasn't involved in the things we was. And yet, in his mercy, he saved us. If they could praise him and he deserved it, surely we ought to praise him and he deserves it. That is true. Amen. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 15. If you found your place, would you stand with us as we honor the Lord? I appreciate you being here in the house of God. I appreciate, as I said already, the good spirit and the songs that's sung. And I appreciate the good day we've had. Amen. And the Lord's just been good to us. I do appreciate Brother Glenn having that little bang up. I'm glad he wasn't hurt. Nobody was hurt. Amen. And glad that things turn out as good as it can be, amen. And could have been a lot worse, amen. When you're driving a Chevrolet, it could be a lot worse, amen. But no, I'm kidding. Amen. Amen. All right. We're gonna kill it right there. Amen. 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 All right. That's right. If anybody ought to shout because they made it to the house of God, it's people that come in a Chevrolet. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. All right. So Luke, we'll get serious here. Luke 15, verse number 11. You know this is one story. This is not three different parables, parable of the silver and the parable of the sheep and the parable of the son. It's all one parable, one story that Jesus gave to them. We see that in verse number 3, he spake this parable unto them. And as it goes down, I believe it's all one story, but it's coming to a conclusion. And it's interesting to me that this story, let's see if I can say it like I got it in my heart. Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees. That's who this parable was to. One thing he wanted them to realize was their lost condition. They thought they were silver, but he wanted them to know they was lost silver. They thought they were sheep, but he wanted them to realize they were lost sheep. Amen. They thought they were sons, but he wanted them to realize, and I believe in this story, both of these sons were lost sons. Amen. The religious and the rebellious were lost sons. And he wanted them to see that. But there's something else. Jesus didn't just come to reveal us to ourselves. He came to reveal the Father to us. Amen. And so in this story, it's not just the story of a rebellious or a religious son, it's the story of a righteous father. Amen. And he wanted us to see the great love of the Father. Amen. For those sons, matter of fact, he loved both of them. He loved them both equally, Jew and Gentile. Thank God, amen, he loves them equally. As they say, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. Amen. Amen. Years ago, I'll tell this before I read my text, but years ago when our kids were small, I had a radio broadcast. Well, I had the one on in Kentucky. I'd had that one for over 20 years before I came there. But we had one local that I'd go and preach it live. And the fellow that came on after me was a five-point Calvinist. He was Southern Baptist, but he was and he'd gone to seminary, but he was a five-point Calvinist. And he preached his first Sunday on the radio, he preached on total depravity. Second Sunday, he preached on unconditional election. Well, in the providence of God, God let me know what that L stood for in the tulip. Amen. And that L stands for limited atonement. And so I had, and this is the way I told him. I said, God, in His sovereignty, gave me 30 minutes before this heretic to tell you about the unlimited atonement of Jesus Christ. And I preached on, He tasted death for every man. Amen. But my children were small, and I had them singing. And we sang it out there at Maryland one time. Made a fellow a little bit nervous. You remember that? They had the children sing, and they were singing that song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Then when they got done with that, I said, now sing it like the Calvinists sing it. And they said, Jesus loves some of the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, some of them is precious in His sight. Then I said, now sing it like the Bible sings it. And I'd done prepped them, had them ready. And when they said, Jesus loves the little children, and they said, all the children of the world, amen. I'm glad that's the truth, amen. You don't have to wonder if you teach your child to sing Jesus loves me or you tell them the truth or a lie. It's the truth. He loves every one of them, and I'm glad He does. Amen. All right. Well, that's a funny story, but it's the truth. That fellow was so mad, he could have chewed nails. Amen. He was so mad when it got done, but it was good for him. Amen. 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 There's several things. The church, his pastor, when they realized what he was, they ran him off. Thank God they did. Amen. He went and started a little church. He called it Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Rented a building right down the road from Vision, right at the bottom of the hill from Faith. You remember where Faith was? Bottom of the hill right there. He rented a building. He put up a sign that said Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. The next week, they put up a for sale sign because the people he rented it from was selling it. It said Bob Powell Realty. So here's a sign, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Right next to it says for sale, Bob Powell Realty. And I told our church we ought to buy a sign and stick right beside it and say predestined before the foundation of the world. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. I'll start reading and find that maybe we'll get there. The Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Sister, I'm preaching about that fatted calf getting killed again. Amen. I didn't mean to get there, but I'm there killing them calves again tonight. Amen. We'll get them both. Amen. All right, verse number 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for the liberty and the service this evening. Lord, we've had good liberty every night, but tonight, Lord, it does seem as if there's a special touch. And I know, Lord, as Brother Williamson said already, you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, when we praise you, you show up. Lord, you are here in the house of God. Help us that we might enter into your gates with thanksgiving and come into your courts with praise. Those that are saved, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us not be ashamed to lift up our voice and to lift up our hands and to lift up our heads and praise our living God. Father, I pray that you'd move in our midst tonight. Help in the preaching, give anointing and touch and help. And Lord, I pray if there be one lost, you'd save them before it's too late. Amen. Lord, I pray you'd bring them under Holy Ghost conviction that they might realize how lost they are, as the song said. They might realize how far removed from God and light and life they are. And they might call unto you and be saved before it is eternally too late. I pray help the saints to be stirred. And dear God, to please you, we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. Well, as I said, this text is so often used and we know it so well, I probably wouldn't have had to read it for you to know the story intricately. Amen. It is a good story and it is worth our reading again and again. And I say to you, we call this, the Bible doesn't call it the prodigal son. Now, my Bible in the header up there, it's not the inspired writings, it's just notes that the printers put. It says the parable of the prodigal son. Perhaps yours does. But it's not the parable of the prodigal son. It's the parable of the prodigal sons, because there are two sons here. Neither one of them are where they're supposed to be. One of them was physically where he's supposed to be, but he wasn't spiritually where he's supposed to be. Amen. And so many times, I believe, especially in our society today, especially in the South, in the Bible Belt, where America has heard the truth of the gospel, people have been trained to go to church. There's a lot of people who go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night. They're in the right place, but their spirit's not right. Amen. Amen. Physically, they're in the right building, but spiritually, they're not even in the right family. Amen. They've never been saved by the grace of God. And so they're prodigal as well. They're astray. They're away from God as well. Amen. If you notice here in this text, we've got the story of the younger son that was rebellious, and that's almost become a cliche to the point that people think that the younger son has to rebel and flee away or turn against the training that they've been taught. But it doesn't have to be that way. Amen. But you've got also the statement of the elder brother. You see his reaction, and you see the statement that he had there, and you'll see that this man had apparently been keeping tabs on his younger brother. He knew, and by the way, I'll back up and say it this way too. When we talk about the prodigal son, we talk about the wine, women, and song, the wickedness that he got involved in. But the scripture doesn't tell us that. It says he wasted his substance with righteous living. It don't tell us how much liquor he drank. It don't say one thing about if he is with women other than this elder brother does. This elder brother says he's wasted his substance. He has spent thy living with harlots, he said. Amen. He hath devoured thy living with harlots. In verse number 30, he said. And so I put it this way. I believe it's right. This elder brother was looking and probably longing for what his younger brother was doing. He was interested in the swine. He was interested in the swill. He was interested in the swag. He was interested in the wickedness, in the sin that his brother was involved in, but he wasn't interested in the brother. Amen. He said, when thy son, this thy son, he didn't say my brother has come home. He said, when this thy son has come, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. His reaction, rather than showering his brother with love, rather than showering his brother with forgiveness, his reaction was only accusation and rejection and a display of jealousy. Amen. Towards his brother. Amen. Now, I'm convinced that there are people sitting on a church pew that have never gone into the far country, but in their heart, they've been keeping an eye on it. And they've been keeping tabs on what's going on. And when somebody comes sometimes from the world, they will almost look down upon them. But in reality, part of they're living out their own lust and living out their own desires. They're prodigals in their heart towards those things. Amen. Sometimes it's almost like, they're not a prodigal because they've been in a hog pen, but they're a prodigal that has been inhibited and penned in on the farm when they wish they could have went down to the hog pen, down to the far country. Amen. And sometimes I read this text and I feel sad for this father. Father had two boys and neither one of them was faithful sons. Amen. I say it this way. He was a faithful father that raised two unfaithful sons. Amen. This father deserved better sons. Matter of fact, I said Jesus was revealing to them the Father. Our Father in heaven deserves better sons. Amen. Amen. This father had some good servants. He had faithful servants, but he had unfaithful sons. And thinking about that, about the faithful servants, I want to try to preach tonight on this thought, and it's unique for me. I'd never thought about this till a few years ago, and God gave me the thought, and God brought it back to me today. This thought, don't forget the servants. When we read this story, we read about the son, we read about the father, we read about both sons. We read about the father, we read about the far country. We read about, go back to the women, the wickedness, the drinking friends, and all that goes on there. But there is a prominent position in this text of a group of people called the servants of the Father. And I want to just point out some things about them this evening, if you will. In verse number 20, I want to say that from verse 20 to verse 24, you'll see that the servants were present when the son returned. They were present. In verse number 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Look at this verse, verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Notice the servant was right there. When the father saw the son a great way off, the father ran to his son. But he didn't have to call back for the servant, because when the father moved, the servant moved. Amen. Wherever Jesus said, if you'll be my servant, where I go, you'll go. You'll follow me. Amen. You will follow me if you want to be my servant. Amen. And I believe these servants were following the Father. Amen. And they were right there when the son came home. They were present when the son returned. Amen. I want to encourage you, if you're a servant of the Most High God, stay faithful to God. Keep staying right in there and longing for some of those prodigals to come home. I don't know the history of this church other than what y'all have told me, some a little bit about it, but I don't know. But there's probably been some members that have been here that are no longer here. They're out in the world. Maybe they're out in some other religion or some other church that claims to be the same religion but don't believe the same way. And you'd love to see them come back and get back in the fold. Amen. I'm saying stay with the Father and be present when the sons come home. Amen. Amen. Now, I see this father as a lonely man. He's a lonely man. His heart's broken because of what this son said. A lot could be said, and I don't have time to really preach on the prodigal son so much because I want to deal with the servants. But just think about this. When that younger son said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that comes to me. By the way, that phrase, give me, is a rebellious phrase. This generation is a give me generation. They are a handout generation. They really are. Give me, give me, give me. And it's a sign of rebellion. Don't tell me anything. Amen. Not even help me. Don't help me. Just give me. That's this generation. That's this generation. Give me. And that's a sign of rebellion. Amen. But when that son got right with God, that son came back to the father and he wasn't saying, give me. He is saying, make me. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Amen. They'll be willing to be done, put where they need to be put so they can serve in the position that God wants them to serve. Amen. But I see this dad, his heart's broken when that son says, give me the portion of goods that cometh or that falleth unto me. You know when that, he wasn't supposed to get those, that he wasn't supposed to get his portion of the inheritance until the testator was dead.
That's right.
Amen. The last will and testament does not go into effect. I mean, it is effective, but it does not become active until the testator is dead. And so that young boy didn't, it wasn't time for him to get the goods that come to him. So what he said to his dad in reality was, he said, Daddy, I can't wait for you to die. I can't wait for you to die. I want it now. I want to enjoy my pleasures. I want to have my cake and eat it too, as they say. Amen. I want to be able to enjoy my good, so I want it now. You know that that father's heart was broken when that son came to him with such an attitude. Amen. 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 Then when he saw him just a few days later pack up his goods and head off into the far country, I've said this a number of times, that boy was leaving with the goods of his dad on his back, but not with the blessing of his dad. Amen. Did you know the Bible doesn't say it is the blessings of God that leadeth thee to repentance, but it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. I'm telling you, God's been good to us even when we were going away from God, even when we was in the far country, even when we was longing and loving and lusting after the far country. God's goodness was upon us, but that goodness was to keep us alive. That goodness was to give us breath and sustenance until the day might come that we had turned from our sin and remember the Father's house, amen, and repent and go home, amen. It was the goodness of God there to lead us to repentance. Amen. And so the father sees him headed off with a sack of goods on his back. No doubt in my mind that father's heart was broken. Amen. And I see him, a lonely man, sitting out there one morning. Maybe the sun's just come up good. And he's sitting there looking towards the sunrise. And he sees a speck of something out there, way out. And he thinks he recognizes the way that boy's walking. Amen. And I imagine a thrill in his heart. I imagine a tear in his eye as he gets up and heads towards that picture of that boy coming over the hillside. Amen. And in my mind, I imagine the servants that loved him, by the way. The servants was faithful to the father. And the servants loved him, and they see him. They've seen him out there weeping. They've seen him pray, and they've known that he's been heartbroken for a long time now. But they see him as he heads off down that trail, and so they go to see what's going on, and they get to recognize, they get to relish in this reunion of the Father and the Son. Amen. These servants were there at that time. Listen, I don't know what you might feel like as far as being a servant. You might feel like, well, I'm an unprofitable servant. My service has been of no value. My service never amounted to much. I'll just quit. Listen, don't quit. Stay by the Father's side waiting for the prodigals to come home. Amen. Amen. So we see these servants were present at the return of the son. Not only that, number two, these servants were a party of the servants or the father's rejoicing. Amen. Look at verse number 22. Again, I read it a couple of times already, but the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Notice all these pronouns. Him, put the robe on him, ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us be merry. Amen. Let us be merry. Verse number 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. I believe these servants got to be a part of the rejoicing. Amen. When the son came home, the father was happy and the son was happy. But there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Amen. There's rejoicing in the whole house because the prodigal had come home. Amen. Amen. Isn't it a blessing to see somebody get right with God?
Yeah.
Amen. It doesn't just bless those that are kin to him. I'm talking about physically kin to him. Amen. It blesses those that are just servants in the house, those that have been praying, those that have been giving, those that have been helping, that things might stay together and that things might be there when they did come home, that the house was still there, that the door was still open, that the lights were still on, amen, and that the word was still going out, amen. And so I imagine that these servants got to rejoicing when the Father and the Son rejoiced, amen, amen. Now, that fatted calf had been put up primarily for that son, but it was more than he could eat. Amen. I'm telling you, salvation is for the one that gets saved, but it's bigger than they are. Amen. There's enough rejoicing to go around. Amen. When a sinner gets saved, when a prodigal comes home, there's enough rejoicing to go around, and it'll make it even more sweet if you've stayed by the stuff. If you've endured the wintertime, I'm telling you, when you've been there through the bleak days, when you've been there through the cold times, when you've been there through the hard times, when the leaves start showing forth and the buds start breaking out, amen, and life starts showing itself again, it is worth it, amen. When you've stayed through the storm. And so the servants stayed faithful. Amen. They stayed faithful. And thank God the son came home. They were there. They were present when the son returned. They were party in the son's rejoicing. Or I say the father's rejoicing. And when the father's son returned. Because it's all about the father. Amen. But the third thing I want you to notice in the text, these servants were probed. In verse number 25 through 27, they were probed about that happy reunion. This elder son still out in the field. Verse 25 says, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. I want you to notice the servant mentioned again. There's servants there with the father when the son came. There's a servant out at the field. This servant was not out in the field working. This servant was at the farmhouse. But when the boy that's in the field comes home, he calls that servant. And he asks what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Amen. So the elder son, when he returned from the field, he heard singing and laughing. He heard singing and dancing. He heard the music and the excitement that was going on. And by the way, this wasn't the same kind of singing and dancing that was going on around that golden calf that I was preaching about last night. This was holy worship. Amen. I believe these people were fully clothed. I believe these people were in their right mind. Amen. And they wasn't saying something in an unknown tongue, something in a jibber-jabber, something to another God. They were talking in a language understandable and a language I believe that's biblical. By the way, the word praise the Lord is biblical. Glory to God is biblical. Hallelujah is biblical. Amen is biblical. Amen. And I don't even believe it's a sin to say, hot dog, amen, yeah. Every now and then. That's right. Amen. Amen. But there's rejoicing in the goodness of God. I'm telling you, it's been a while since it's happened to me because I've got older and don't play sports. But back when I would get out with my wife's brother and play basketball, we'd get out there and be playing. And there's been more than one time. And back when I'd watch it on television. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things God dealt with me about it was I was just overwhelmed in the sports. I'd sit there and I would watch, I'd watch baseball to way up in the night, and then in the morning didn't feel like getting up and going to work. But I felt like sitting in front of that television the next time the ball game come on. I didn't feel like reading my Bible, but I felt like sitting there and watching the ball game next time the ball game come on. And the Lord dealt with me about that. But more than one time, God has convicted me about getting so excited about a basketball going through the rim. Amen. About getting so excited about somebody hitting a home run and yet going to church and sitting like a knot on a log. Amen. Or in Oklahoma, I say like a wooden Indian. Amen. But it'd be a, you know, it's a, go to church. Don't you know that going to the house of God and singing the songs of God is better than a three-point shot? Amen. It's better than one at the buzzer. It's better than a grand slam home run. Amen. Amen. Sure is. Amen. Amen. Well, I heard somebody said, I heard a preacher preach some time back. He said, I don't keep up with sports. I don't care nothing about sports. He said, I don't even remember which baseball team won the world? Which baseball team won the Super Bowl last year? That's what he said. Yeah. Amen. I remember years ago too, this is funny, but Brother Herbert may have been there and heard it. Brother Don Anderson's boy, Jeremy Anderson, was preaching. He wasn't but just a little boy. I mean, 5, 6 years old. And he got in a big way. And that's back when Michael Jordan had just left North Carolina, the University of North Carolina, and had gone and was playing pro ball. You know, of course, he went to the Bulls and made a big, you know, all the deal about Michael Jordan. Anyway, Jeremy's up there preaching, just a little bitty boy. And he's talking about how he's talking about he didn't watch sports. He didn't know nothing about it. And he said, I ain't never even watched Michael Jackson shoot a basketball. He didn't know the difference in Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan. Amen. Yeah, Michael Jackson, if he shot a basketball, it'd be like this. Amen. 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 Well, let me get back to my message. Amen. Amen. But the servants was present. I'm talking about the rejoicing that was going on there. This brother came home and he heard the rejoicing and he wanted to know what's going on. What are they so excited about? Don't you think he should have had an idea? Don't you think he knew his daddy wanted that boy to come home? But I'll guarantee you he didn't want that boy to come home. I'll guarantee you there'd never been a prayer come from his lips that said, Lord, please let my brother come home. Oh, no. I'll tell you, he probably dreaded the day that boy might come home. He probably dreaded the thoughts that boy might come home. Because it looks to me like he hated the brother, and his daddy's love for his brother made him hate his brother. By the way, the Jews hated the Gentiles. They hated anybody that wasn't a Jew. Amen. They didn't want them to be saved. That's right. Jesus is trying to show them the Father's love is not just for one of those sons, but the Father's love is for both of those sons. Amen. Father's love is for whosoever will, thank God. Amen. Amen. Well, this brother, elder brother, returned from the field. He heard the music and the dancing. He called one of his father's servants. He knew they'd tell him the truth. He said, what's going on? And those servants got to tell him. They were probed. They were questioned about what was going on. Do you know the generation we're living in? The average person came into this service, for example. If they saw Brother Herbert carrying on like he was doing earlier, they might ask one of the servants, what in the world is going on in that house? Amen. Be good for the servants to be there and be able to say, he's happy. He's happy because of the Father's love. He's happy because some prodigal has come home. He's rejoicing because of the forgiveness that has been offered and revealed to mankind. Amen. And so these servants were probed. They were questioned about what all this meant. Amen. But then there's one last thing that I want you to notice. And that is about these servants. And I'm going backwards now to verse number 14. Look back at verse number 14. This younger brother had gathered up the goods his father had given him. He had gone to the far country. And verse number 14 said, and when he had spent all, he just had wasted his substance and righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Now, I want you to think about this just a minute. You see the act of man in verse number 13, that he took that journey and he wasted his substance. But he didn't bring the famine. God brought the famine. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when people just about hit bottom, you know what they need? They need for the heat to get turned up a little more. They need for it to get a little harder. Amen. Not that we make it harder on them, but that God. I mean, man didn't make that famine. Amen. It was God that made the famine. And God allowed the famine to arise. And he went on. He said, there was a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. People will never get filled until they get hungry. Amen. People will never come to the table until they get hungry. That's right. And y'all sang that song, I'm glad I got lost. I'm glad God put a hunger in my heart. I was reading something today, thinking about repentance. I read, and you've heard it before, they say, you know, the book of John is the book of salvation. It's the book that makes salvation so clear. And the word repent is not even found in the whole book. They'll make a big deal about that. Of course, A.W. Pink said this, and he's right. You read the book of John, the gospel of John wasn't written to sinners. It was written to believers. Amen. That's what he said. It was written to them that had believed that they might believe more. So these believers have already repented. So he wouldn't have to tell them to repent. They had already repented. And matter of fact, if you ever repented, you'll keep on repenting. That's right. Amen. This crowd that's not repenting today, I'll tell you why they're not repenting. Because they never have repented. They'll be against repentance because they never have participated in repentance. Amen. Amen. They're not a proponent of it because they're not a participant in it. They don't believe in it. Amen. But I was reading that there today, and in John chapter number 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he gives that great verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But he goes on from there. That's, by the way, they want to say, believe is all you got to do. But Jesus went on to say that, you know why men won't come while they're in condemnation already? Because they love darkness. They won't come to the light. What does that mean? If you're going to come to the light, you got to turn from the darkness. That's repentance. You got to dislike the darkness and love the light, or you'll dislike the light because you love the darkness. Amen. There's got to be a decision made there. There's got to be repentance there. Amen. And this young son got right with God because he repented and came back home. Amen. Amen. Well, let me get back there now. It was a work of God. I'm talking about God doing that work. And verse number 15, and he went and joined himself. God put him in want. That's the point I was wanting to get at. God got him to that place. He got hungry. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. By the way, if you get in the far country and you join up with that wicked world out there, you know what they're going to do? They're going to drive you down in the dirt worse. That's right. They're going to make you dirtier than you already have been. They're going to do their best to make a fool out of you. They're going to make you the laughing stock of the hog pen. Amen. And verse number 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, I want you to notice this next phrase. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. It jumped out at me that before he mentioned his daddy, he mentioned the servants. Amen. He remembered the servants almost, and I don't think I'd be saying it wrong to do it. It's almost as if he remembered the servants more than he remembered his father. Now, he knew his father loved him. He knew his father was good. He knew all that about his father. But you know what he realized? My daddy, as good as he was, he's got some good servants. And I'm not even been as good as the servants are. Amen. And so he wanted to go back. He didn't say, Father, make me a son. He said, I'd just like to be one of your faithful servants. That's all I want to be, just one of your faithful servants. Amen. And here, when I say don't forget the servants, I'm thinking about each of us are servants of God, right? And we have a position. That's what I preached all week, is our duty in this thing about revival, our duty to pray, our duty to have a burden, our duty to be involved. Amen. And really, as far as servants, our Lord said, and Paul clarified it later, Paul said it this way, in whatever state you're in, or whatever state you're called, he said, remain therein. And of course, he's talking about marriage, but he's also dealing with circumcision and uncircumcision. He's also dealing with servanthood or freedom. Yeah. Amen. And so what he's saying is this. He's saying, if you're a servant, just stay a servant. Amen. Just don't try to get out of being a servant. Just hang in there and be a servant unto the Lord. But here's what I got to thinking about today, and felt like God nudged me on this in this message toward this line. I'm studying in Philippians chapter number 1, preaching on it in our church on Wednesdays, and I'm at the point where Paul, just in the first part, chapter number 1, about verse 14, he goes talking about how that the things that have fallen out unto me, I would have you know, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. He said, in other words, he said, rather than it hindering me, it's actually helped the gospel. He said the gospel's going where it never would have gone. And he goes in there and he's talking about those brethren that are preaching. Some are doing it out of envy and strife. And I don't think he said they're preaching Christ wrong. He just said they're treating me wrong. They got a wrong attitude towards me. They got envy towards me. And they think maybe they can do better than me and it'll hurt me. He said, I don't care if they have more converts than I do. I don't care if they have more victory than I do. He said, if Christ's being preached, I'm going to glory in Christ being preached. That's what Paul said. Amen. But I was thinking about that, and it came to this, and it tied in here. Paul was saying to them, the servant, Paul was the servant that was in prison, and he was saying, you ought to treat the servant right. You ought not have a wrong attitude towards the servant. And I was thinking about, you showed me that paper of your former pastor, sister's brother, in the situation there. And I know that he was pastored here all those years. And from what I've seen of you folks, y'all honor him, honor his memory and his labor. And I think that's appropriate. I'll be honest with you. I think that is exactly. I believe God will smile on that. I believe God will bless it. Matter of fact, if you honor the sister for her, and I don't even remember her name, but that's all right. I'm bad about remembering, especially women's names. I call Miss Williams a lot of times. I call her Mrs. Herbert because I can't think of her first name. But anyway, sister here, and I think it's right to honor her because she had part in that labor. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Matter of fact, I don't think it was wrong in Moses' day when he honored Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Amen. I think that's right. Amen. I believe God will honor that. But then I say, you got Brother Herbert and Miss Dorothy here. Let me do it. Brother Herbert and Miss Dorothy. I didn't want you to think I didn't know which one was which. And the same idea is there, the honor towards them. It seems to me like I can see that, and I appreciate that, and I believe God smiles on that. But you know, a lot of people in our world today, as Christians, they lose sight of how honored it is to be a servant of the Most High God. Amen. And how that they ought to remember those servants. Amen. Ought to remember those that have been faithful down through the years. Ought to remember those that have labored. The Bible talks about the book of Hebrews, salute them that have the rule over thee. Amen. He talks about obeying them that have the rule over thee. Amen. He talks about being good, taking care of them. And I know all that. I'm sure you know that, and I believe that you do. And the idea there, it's not that you bow down to him. It's not that you make a god of him. No. But he's honored for the work's sake. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Honored for the work's sake. And I think it'd be, I personally believe it'd be a revival in America if Americans would remember that we didn't get where we are today without the blood, sweat, and tears of some people behind us. Amen. And we ought to honor their memory.
That's right.
Amen. This church wouldn't be in this building if it wasn't for some people that gave and gave and gave above and beyond the call of duty. Amen. There wouldn't be a, I don't know how many good churches they are around here. I doubt there's many, to be honest with you. I know there's gangs of people and people in gangs, amen. But there's not, anywhere you go, there's not a lot of good churches. It doesn't seem like that there's a lot of them. But there might not be one here. Might not be one single good church here if it wasn't for some servants that went above and beyond the call of duty. Amen. And in order for it to go on, you're going to need to remember those servants. Amen. Remember and give honor to those servants to whom honor is due. Not that you say, well, I'm of Cephas and I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, because that's carnal.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said that. That's carnal. It's not that you just say, well, I'm going to follow, for example, I'm going to follow Brother Herbert, I'm going to listen to him, and I'm not going to pay attention to anybody else, except for the fact that as pastor, he is the authority. Amen. Amen. He is. And I'll say it this way. I don't think that I'm the smartest person at Island Ford Baptist Church. I just happen to be the one God called as pastor. I didn't volunteer for it. God put me there. Amen. And that's where the responsibility lies. That's how it falls. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But I'm saying when you honor them for the work's sake. When that son recollected, when he remembered his father's house, what he remembered was the faithful service. I thank God for some godly men that I've known in my life. Amen. Brother Williams has been one of them. I've known him for probably close to 30 years, I guess. Probably close to it. I remember the first time I ever met him. I may have told you all this when I was here in April. I met Brother Herbert Williamson, Brother Gene Mathias, and Brother Gary Hall, all at a ladies' meeting. Faith Baptist Camp, Merceka, Georgia. Amen. I came up on them. They was out there. Brother Williamson, Brother Hall, Brother Gene, all of them. They all had on a big overcoat. Looked like, I thought they was the mafia. And they scared me. Amen. And I remember, I go up there and introduce myself. They introduced themselves when we was talking. And I remember the first thing Gene Mathias said to me. He said, you're from North Carolina, are you? And he did like this. He said, are you preaching anything?
Yeah,
that's what he said. Are you preaching anything? I said, well, I'm trying to. He said, try a little harder. That's what he said. Amen. I ain't never forgot it. Been trying ever since. Trying a little harder. Amen. But I remember those men and the mark that they made on my life. And Brother Williamson's been a powerhouse down through the years. Amen. He's losing some of his physical stamina. He's losing some of his, sometimes he don't think as clearly as he'd like to think. Maybe can't speak as clearly as he'd like to speak. But don't forget the servants of God. Amen. They can very well be here when the prodigal comes home. They can be a part of the rejoicing. They can be a part of the recollection. Amen. Remember them and hold them in esteem. I believe it's right. I can mention several others. Y'all know, I know y'all know, for example, Brother Ronnie Sutton. Brother Sutton, first time I ever met him, I remember where that was at. That was at Faith Baptist Camp. He preached on a new man in town. Amen. Out of Mark chapter 5. Amen. And that Gadarene demoniac. Amen. And I remember the impression that he made on me. Amen. Other men like that. But you know what blesses me? It's not just that I have known them, because there's been some that I knew that I esteemed highly. But today they're not standing in a position that I can esteem so highly. I have to, yes sir, I have to hang my head in grief. I have to say, sometimes I have to scratch my head and say, I don't understand. I don't know how that they've gone, the route they've gone. But it is a blessing to see those that were standing years ago that are still standing today. Amen. That prodigal son, when he came home, he was rejoicing, he was remembering that there were servants there. And when he came home, he said, Father, just let me be one of them servants. I'd just like to be one of them servants. Now, I'm going to close with this. I believe it's applicable for every one of us. There may very well be folks that you work with or live around or you know, and they don't know about all this stuff you talk about being saved. They don't really know about all this about, you know, really getting in there and really serving the Lord. They just sort of question that. But they might see something in your life that they might sometimes say, Lord, you know, I'd like to have a little bit of that. I'd like to have what they've got. I'd like to be able to display what they display. I'd like to be a servant. I might not be worthy to be your son, but Lord, I'd like to be a servant. You know what? You know what the Lord does? He does, this man, this young man wasn't brought back as a servant. He was brought back as a son. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe he served the rest of his life. Amen. Every good son is a servant. Amen. I say it again. Every good son is a servant to the Lord. Amen. You ought to ask God, Lord, make me a servant. Lord, if I'm a servant, help me remain a servant. But one of the ways of being a good son is to remember the servants. I remember the man that was preaching when I got saved. I was thinking about this again today too. I'm 52 years old. The last Sunday in June this year, let's see, this is 18. I was saved in 1974. So however long that's been, I was 8 years old. And so 8 from 52, 44 years ago. Amen. In June, I got saved by the grace of God. The man, if I could say, that led me to the Lord, he was our pastor. We called him Uncle Donald. It was like you said, we was taught as children, other people, even in the neighborhood, wasn't related to you. You didn't call them Mr. or Mrs. You certainly didn't call them by their first name. You called them Aunt and Uncle. That's just how we taught, show respect. And we called him Uncle Donald. And Donald McCleary was his name. He was from West Virginia. And he was our pastor. That fifth Sunday in June, I'd been under conviction. And in Sunday school that morning, in Sunday school, God was dealing with me. I knew that if I didn't get saved, I was in a heap of trouble. I really thought that if I said it last night, and I did. I thought that if I left that service, I might never have another chance. That I might never get saved if I didn't get saved that day. And I came forward. Donald was standing there, just coming around shaking hands. The family had joined the church. They'd received their letter. And Uncle Donald was standing over there. And as we come around to shake hands, I took him by the hand. And I said, Uncle Donald, can you tell me how to be saved? He didn't read me the Romans Road. He didn't do a lot of that. I'll tell you what he did do. He quoted me John 3:16. He said, you know John 3:16, don't you? I said, yes, sir. And he quoted it. And he said, do you believe that if you asked the Lord to save you, he'd save you? And I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, then let's try it and see. That's what he said. Let's try it and see. I bowed down on that altar and called on God and asked him to save me. Amen. Now, Donald McCleary was not a perfect man. He later got out of the ministry. He had a daughter wound up messed up in sin, bad. Two daughters, actually. But one was married, one was not married, and had a lot of problems. And Donald got and he had a son, got rebellious. Donald got discouraged, I believe, and he got out of the ministry. Him and his wife had some struggles. They never divorced. But then later, after just a few years, Donald said he got right with God. Him and his wife worked things out, stayed together. Later, he went back to preaching. I don't know whatever really became of it, but that's what he did. But here's my point. I don't worship Donald McCleary, but I thank God for a preacher that told me the truth. He was preaching when my mom and daddy got right. He was preaching when my daddy announced his call to preach. He was our pastor that led me to the Lord, and I honor him for that memory. Amen. I think we're living in a day when people forget those that are behind us. Yeah, Memorial Day comes and they don't even know what Memorial Day is. So, matter of fact, we had a president, sad to say, that didn't know the difference in Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Amen. You remember that probably, what I'm talking about. And didn't know the difference. But they forget the past. This son and this parable our Lord's telling them about was, don't forget the past. Don't forget the servants. Esteem them. And ask God to make you one of those servants. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the thoughts. Lord, we've enjoyed the goodness of God. And I hope, Lord, I hadn't missed it. Lord, you know what we needed tonight. You know how the message needs to come across. I don't feel like I can say it, like you burned it on my heart. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us and we'd receive it. Help us, dear God, we'd say, like that young man in the hog pen, we'd say, Lord, I know I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy, but I'd love to be a servant. When I think about that your only begotten son, the one that did deserve to be called your son, didn't make himself like a son, he made himself like a servant and became a servant. Father, help us to remember the servants. Help us, dear God, to remember those you put in our life that helped us get where we are. And Lord, help us remember somebody else down there. Maybe they're in the hog pen, or maybe they're headed to the hog pen. And we can have a part in seeing them come home. Amen. Lord, help us to stay true and faithful till Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.